Once again, this Sunday night, it certainly is good to be able to say that we're in the house of the Lord once again. And I hope and pray that you've had a blessed day in the Lord today, that you've come back tonight with hearts and minds that are prepared to look into His Word together and to grow from it tonight. Now, in our Sunday nights, we have been doing a study on different traits that we as Christians should show forth in our lives. This is our third week in this study, and so far we've looked at righteousness and compassion. And by both of those messages, I know that I was very convicted. Tonight, Lord willing, what we're going to look about is something that we as Christians should all have in our lives, and that is the trait of courage. We live in a world today where there's a lot of fear. Fear of economic failure, fear of war on foreign soils, fear of terrorism here in our own backyards. There's a lot of fear of disease today. Seems as if every day that we find someone who is being diagnosed with cancer or some other unforeseen disease that just changes the course of their life. And there's a lot of fear about disease. You know, the Christian is not called to live a life of fear. You know, Christians are called on to be humble and to be meek and to turn the other cheek. But humbleness and meekness is not fear. Not fear at all. Jesus Christ was humble and meek, but He did not walk in fear as He walked upon this earth. He did not stand in fear as He turned the other cheek to Pilate and those who accused Him. And nor should we. I'm going to look at this message a little bit different than we've done the other two studies. Tonight we're going to look at an event in the Word of God and draw off the characters here to show fear and to show courage as well. So if you have your Bibles with you tonight, I would invite your attention to the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 17. 1 Samuel in chapter 17, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. We will be doing a lot of reading as we go through this chapter here tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1 says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochah, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochah and Azekah in Ephesidamim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had graves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us? And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now, as I said, we're going to be reading a lot in this chapter, so do bear with me as we read through here. But I want us to back up far enough into the chapter to see the story of Goliath here, to look at his challenge that he was giving before the Israelites there in the valley. The Scripture takes great care here of letting us know how big that Goliath was. And of course, how he went out to go out and to challenge the nation of Israel for anyone to come and fight. And you know, when we look at the size of Goliath, we can understand fleshly why no one was stepping up to the plate fleshly. And I want to zero in on verse number 11 here, because here it says that they were afraid. It speaks of fear. The fear of the people, and most importantly here, the fear of Saul, has turned this battlefield, this valley, into no battlefield at all. Fear has kept them from progressing in a battle that the Lord would have them to fight. And you know what? Fear does that. Fear keeps us out of the fight that God would have us pursue. Now, we look at the character of Saul, and this isn't the only time that fear has caused Saul problems. If we were to go back to chapter 13 and read, we will remember the time that there was a time to fight, and Saul had been there waiting on Samuel to make a sacrifice, but Samuel didn't come when Saul expected him to, and Saul, out of fear, made sacrifice, and it cost him. You see, fear will do that. Fear will ask or cause us to act hastily instead of waiting on the Lord. Last week, Brother Randy, as he was filling in for Brother Greg and teaching the Sunday school, he was speaking of the account of Saul and as he went to the witch there at Endor. And do you remember why he was seeking help from the witch there at Endor? It was because of fear. Fear of the battle that was ahead of him. You see, fear causes us sometimes to turn to options that we would never consider if we were standing firm upon the rock of the Lord. And I wanted to start by showing you some of these things about fear, to show you just a little bit about how fear can shackle us in our lives and keep us from doing great things. Fear is the opposite of courage. And we need to have courage. Now, I want to continue on in our reading a little bit, but this time we want to move down to verse number 17. Now, in between our reading and what we just did in verse 17, we're told here about David and how he was the keeper of his father's sheep. We're told about how Goliath went out there and made this challenge for 40 days. He went out and did this same thing. And all were moved with fear, and none would go out and fight Goliath. Now, in verse 17, we read, "And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. Now this is the first time that David is going to hear Goliath come out and make this challenge. Now David at this time was a young man. And one might think that because he was a young man that he might be scared of the strength of Goliath and the size that he was. But I want you to look at the difference in response here between David and the men of Saul, beginning in verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." Now these men were scared to death of Goliath. They'd been shaking in their boots now for 40 days. But David showed courage right from the very beginning. Now, why did David show courage from the beginning? You see, the men here were resting their strength within themselves. That's where they were drawing their own strength from. That's why they were afraid. They saw that they were outgunned, so to say. But David saw the fight not as he is, but he saw the fight as the Lord's. And this is truly the first understanding of how we as Christians can truly be courageous in this world. As a child of God, we must remember that in this life there is a battle going on all the time around us. The battle is not necessarily the coworker where we work that always seems to cross you. It's not the guy that seems to manage to cut you off every morning as you're going to work. It's not the school teacher that's always giving you trouble. Our battle is not against man. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Goliath was a man, like you and like me. He may have been big, and he may have been bad. But who was the one that was directing Goliath's path? Well, it was Satan. That was the one who was behind him. And that is who our battle is truly against. You know, that's why when the Bible says to pray for our enemies, that's how we can pray for our enemies. They need to be saved, folks. But the devil right now is using them as pawns in his scheme. And you know what? In the Word of God, we're assured that God has already overcome Satan. And the battle is not ours. The battle belongs to the Lord. And victory will be of the Lord's, no matter what the battle may be. Listen, if the Lord is in the battle, be courageous. Defeat is not an option. God has already provided for the battle, just like He did time and time again for the nation of Israel, when they went into the battle in the will of the Lord. Just like Jericho. As they marched around that city. Did that make sense to march around the city and blow trumpets? No. But the will of the Lord was in it. And God brought the walls down. You know, it's when they went into battle outside the will of God that they failed. But when God was behind them, they never lost. So point number one is courage for the believer is staying sustained from the faith that God has already won the victory and that we can do all things through Him who strengthens us. Now look in verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto him, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mayest see the battle. And David said, What have I done, or what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. When the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Along our battles of life, our courage is often shaken by others. David's brother spoke and discouraged him in the battle. And at first, so did Saul. Saul took one look at this young man and wrote him off from the very beginning, said, Sorry, son, you're too small. You can't fight this battle. When you're trying to be courageous, words can really shake your confidence. And much of the time, the words spoken aren't necessarily meant to tear us down. Sometimes they're spoken out of concern for us. You know, Saul looked at David and honestly thought, this man will be ripped to shreds. I can't send him out there. I can't do that. Soon David is going to be out there standing before Goliath, standing at his feet. And he's going to speak great words against David. You know, our enemy, again, and our enemy is Satan, he knows our weaknesses. And he knows exactly the words that need to be said to knock us down, to shake our confidence, expose to others our weakness, to destroy our courage. When we go to the battle, which indeed is every day, we must realize that discouragement is going to come on from all sides. Those that are looking out for your best interest, so to say, and those that aren't. But we must not let our hearts be burdened by the words of others. We must find strength in the Lord and be encouraged in His words that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And that's true no matter what in life. Now let's continue reading. Verse 34. David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. Here in these verses, we see the next thing that should encourage courage in the Christian. Even though that David was a young man, David had a lot of life experience in which that he had drawn upon the strength of the Lord in times past, and the Lord delivered time and time again. Now, fighting a lion and a bear, those were big tasks. I wouldn't want to do it. But you know what the difference between the lion and the bear was in Goliath? Lions and bears don't speak words to discourage us. Goliath was going to be out there not just standing as a large man, but also discourage him along the way. But you know what? The lion and the bear, they were just stepping stones of faith. God allowed those things to happen to be able to encourage him further in the future. And you know, the same should be true of us. You know, none of us here has probably ever fought a lion, probably never fought a bear. But you know what? We've all had battles in our lives. Some battles are physical, some are mental, some are emotional, all kinds of battles that we can look back and say, yes, God gave me the victory then. I was doing what the Lord wanted me to do, and He brought me through it. And I know that if I'm doing what the Lord would have me to do right now, He too will bring me through this battle as well. And furthermore, not only do we have the experiences of our own lives, but we can look back into the Word of God and draw from the personal experience of the saints of old and see just how God brought them through the great tasks that God would have them to do. Do you ever think if God aided Moses as he stood before Pharaoh, the most powerful man on earth at the time, that he can aid you as you stand up to a boss? Or he can aid you as you stand up to a teacher? Or whoever it might be that is against you? It may not be easy. But listen, having courage doesn't mean that things are going to come easy. But God has shown us over and over that He is a rock of strength that we can rest upon. Let's read on. Verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now a lot of people believe that Saul put his armor on him because he wanted people to think that as he went out that it was Saul actually in the battle with Goliath. I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that Saul really wanted to equip David with the best that was available. And the king's armor was certainly the best that was available. David put the armor on. Undoubtedly, he took that sword out and swung it a few times. And I can only imagine as David put that on, for a moment, it felt pretty good to have on the king's armor. But David had never fought like this, never in times past, and he couldn't now. You see, that just wasn't him. You know, as we read the Word of God, as we were just saying, we see example after example for us to lean to, for us to learn from us to emulate, if you will. But you know what? Paul was not Peter. And Peter was not John. And John was not Elisha. And what I'm trying to say here is that every one of these men were unique. God made Peter a natural leader. He made Paul a very zealous man. He made John full of compassion and love, and so on. We can take courage in how God was with these men during the challenges in their lives and how they prevailed because God was with them, but we understand we can't be somebody else. We can't be somebody else. You know, sometimes my wife and I, we will laugh and we'll say to the kids, God made you special just like everybody else. But you know what? That's true. God made each one of us unique. And He made each one of us different. And I can't be someone I'm not. Now, yes, I understand sometimes God has to push us out of our comfort zone so that we can accomplish things that we never imagined doing. But those are abilities that God has given us that we just haven't discovered yet. But in all of our battles, we must remain at all times ourselves. See, God knows our strengths better than anyone. And God knows our weaknesses as well. God knows what we need to fight the battle. So take courage in that fact, that God knows and will supply every need that we personally need for the victory that is ahead. Now again, let's read in verse 41 now. It says, "And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves," that is sticks. "And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said unto David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field." David went out into this battle. He was clothed as a shepherd. And Goliath was there clothed as that great warrior. Goliath came and he spoke those words of great discouragement. And at this point in time, you know, David had done a lot of talk on the hillside, a lot of talk before Saul. But right now, the battle was closer than it had ever been before. And one might think that David might begin to waver just a little, seeing how massive the task truly was ahead. But look at David's response. "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, and the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth," I love this, "not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Again, we see that David here is putting the fight where? In the hands of the Lord. But I want you to draw upon this fact that despite how the task must have looked in front of him, he did not back down. Not one bit. Do you remember how the Israelites, as they were coming into the promised land, they sent out spies to survey the land. They said, "Oh no, we can't go fight against those people. They're too big and we're too small." Only a couple of men had the courage not to back down from the fight. A fight that the Lord was in. True courage based upon the Lord never backs down. We often know the battle ahead, often know that God is with us, know that God has been with us in the past, and we are ready to fight whenever the battle might be. And then when the giant is there suddenly in front of us, the first thing that we think about is, "Oh no. Step back. Think about it again. Perhaps even look for a route of escape." Listen to me. Courage never gives up. Courage never gives in. Courage never looks for escape. Courage fights the battle in the name of the Lord God Almighty, who doesn't fight or save with sword or spear, but still has victory over his foes. Again, we read in verse 48, and it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, what'd they do? They fled. Out of what? Fear. 40 days and 40 nights of taunting and teasing the armies of the Lord, and everyone hiding their face in fear. And it took David one stone thrown in the name of the Lord to bring this giant down. How sad that his brothers did not have the courage to stand and fight before Goliath. How sad that his countrymen hid their faces instead of leaning towards the power of God. And how even much more sad that King Saul, who had seen so many times already the power of the Lord in the battles that he had fought, was backing down. I wonder how many of you all are fighting battles right now. If you're not, odds are tomorrow, one's a-coming. So put on the whole armor of God with your shield of faith before you. Stand with courage, knowing that the Lord who sought you and the Lord who bought you never loses a fight. Stay in His will, and you won't either. Step out of His will, and we'll lose every time. I hope that this has been a blessing to someone here today who may be struggling along their way, perhaps in fear. Trust in God, the one who already holds tomorrow in His hand. And always remember, as we've said many times before, that the fight ahead of us is never bigger than the God who is behind us.